This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, maybe the Nuggets are figuring something out, at least defensively. The Avalanche, first game back in 3 weeks, and even without Nathan MacKinnon, they get it done, especially, a lot of goals in that second period. Marty Natchez was pretty damn good, too. We'll get to that. A big game tonight for the UNC Bears. And really big night in the Big Sky Conference. Also, changes for the NCAA, specifically the transfer portal window and harsh penalties if you abuse that. All of that coming up today. Plus, we have Rams Weekly at 1 o'clock. Talk more about Ali Farokhmanesh and this red-hot Rams team. All that and more. The whole show starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour, good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Hey, listen, man, it was watching this Nuggets game last night. It was not must-see television, but you'll appreciate this, Michael. The defensive effort was certainly there for Denver. They win 103-84, and here's what kind of stood out to me. Joker had an incredible stat line. He was phenomenal last night, as far as the stats go. Now, our guy, Ryan Blackburn, he writes for Mile High Sports. He does a great job. I mean, he is in tune with the Nuggets, no question about it. But he tweeted out last night, you know, not exactly an MVP-caliber performance from Nikola Jokic tonight. But if I read you this stat line, Michael, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, only 1 turnover. His plus minus was plus 13. I would give you that box score, and you would say, yeah, that's right on par with MVP type numbers. Now, the thing that gets you, he was 4-13 from the 3-point line. But let's keep in mind, Jamal Murray goes out in this game. He plays 8 minutes in this game, guessing he had some kind of food poisoning, perhaps. And he didn't play the rest of the night, so you're down another shooter. So Joker took it upon himself to just launch. And there, 20-some seconds into the game, we got a Sombor shuffle. Joker's bobbling the ball. It's about to go out of bounds. Shot clock's running out. Turns around, fires that pigskin, and makes it. I thought, okay, Joker's about to go off tonight. And he did. He scored 30 points. But still, something looks a little off with Nikola Jokic. It's maybe the wrist thing. Maybe the wrist isn't 100%, but Denver gets it done, and they have a defensive intensity last night that I haven't seen in a bit. And David Adelman, the head coach of the Nuggets, was talking about, hey, this is our offense. This is certainly the reason we've won 37 games or 36 games is because our offense. They're one of the best scoring team, one of the highest scoring teams in the NBA. I think both teams that played last night were in the tops of scoring. But Adelman expressing how important it's going to be if this team wants to achieve what they want to achieve, how important the defensive effort is going to be from here forward. Here's Coach Adelman.
Talk about it, talk about the media, show film, but you have to go do it. They were really good tonight. Everybody got into the ball, extremely aggressive, and then I thought, you know, taking care of the ball on the other end, you know, it just was a recipe for you can survive bad shooting nights, or I guess I'd say bad shooting halves. If you play the right way, and we said it in there after the game, you know, it's, we have gotten to this point with our win total because of our offense. That's the bottom line. But for us to do anything uniquely special this season, our defense has to come along. And tonight was a good example of it, but the challenges will keep coming, you know, with OKC next. So it's just got to be more a consistent thing. And I'm not going to sit up here after if we'd have lost the game and not been proud of how we played. You know, we played the right way. And I was just really proud of the overall effort for all four quarters. That's a really good team we just played with a incredible wingman at Jaylen Brown. I thought we did a really good job, you know, with him, and then also getting out to their shooters who are extremely impactful. So just a really solid one.
There's David Adelman. Yeah, you could see it. There was just a they were making guys feel them on the defensive side. Now, for a bit, Derek White was just doing whatever he wanted. He got wide open several times in this game, but defensively, I think led by Bruce Brown. I thought Bruce Brown was exceptional last night. And, you know, Christian Brown still has yet to really find his game. But he's coming along slowly but surely, but you need him to be better defensively. The other night, he wasn't so good. You know, they played Sunday, but against the Warriors, he didn't have it. And when he's not, you don't really expect Christian Brown to be a big-time scorer for you, but what he has to be is he has to be pretty good defensively. And I think you got some of that last night. I mean, as Coach mentioned there, Jaylen Brown, with no Tatum, Jaylen Brown really tasked to lead this team in scoring, and he had 23 points last night. So, you know, not a bad defensive effort against like Brown. And again, you hold the Boston Celtics to 84 points, yeah, you're feeling pretty good. Big night for Joker, though, as far as the stat line. That was his third consecutive 30-plus point game. And get this one. He led Denver in points, assists, and rebounds for the 16th time this season. That's the most by any NBA player this season. And it was also another big night. It was his 74th consecutive game with at least four rebounds and four assists, breaking his tie with Russell Westbrook for the longest such streak in NBA history. Westbrook had 73 consecutive games of doing that with at least four rebounds and four assists. He also surpassed the 20,000 career points, now has 20,028 career points, 9,833 rebounds, 838 rebounds, and 6,543 assists. Also 1,065 threes made, becoming the fourth player in NBA history with 20-plus points, 9,000-plus rebounds, 20,000-plus points, 6,000-plus assists, and 1,000-plus threes made, joining LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Scottie Pippen. He's the sixth European-born player to tally 20,000 career points. So, again, this is what blows my mind about this guy. Because, listen, Blackburn's not wrong in what he's saying. You know, it's just Ryan Blackburn. This is how good Joker has become, where we can look at a 30-point night and a double-digit rebound night and almost a double-digit assist night, and we can say, it's all right. That's how good he is. You expect those numbers, but you also expect the efficiency to be up, and that's been the thing that's been knocking him down in the MVP race probably the most, is he's just not as efficient. He's missing a lot, even those close shots. He was 11 of 28 last night. I don't expect him to make 8 of those 13 threes. I mean, he's a decent three-point shooter. But they're going to – listen, defenses are going to keep leaving him open until he proves he can start to consistently knock down those threes. So I would look for him to continue to do that, to try to find his rhythm. And once he does, then you start guarding him up top, and that's when the magic happens. That's when everything starts to open up for the Joker. But hopefully Jamal Murray's okay. I mean, it sounds like, Michael, you're very familiar with food poisoning. I remember the epic email that we got years ago.
Yes, and no one filled in for me.
No, because we needed you, Mike. We needed you. You were our Jamal Murray, but you were our Jokic. You're kind of our Jokic around here. That's a compliment. It's the highest
compliment.
The
ironic thing was it was peanut butter pie.
Peanut butter pie, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had left it out for too long, and I was like, you know what? Screw it.
How long
sure
did you leave
fine.
Your peanut butter pie out? How long, like, until that goes bad?
I don't know, but it had been out for a while, and I was like, well, peanut butter pie.
Okay, so
I'm made of peanut butter.
You being, you know, kind of our resident food poisoning expert around here, do we expect Jamal Murray to be able to play against OKC tomorrow night at 7:30?
I mean, I was, like, I was bad that entire day, but the next day I was mostly better.
You would be ready to go play a basketball game in the NBA the next day?
I mean, maybe.
Okay. All right. So
I mean, it was bad food poisoning. 4 o'clock in the morning, horrible. That same night for the volleyball tournament, not feeling great, but the next day had mostly recovered.
You had your flu game, man. You were like Michael Jordan out there.
It was a flu game. I performed really well.
Yes, you did. I'm complimenting you. I don't compliment you. We'll just leave that at that, right? I don't compliment you. Also, last night in the game was kind of cool because now you obviously have Derek White, former Buff, but the Nuggets picked up KJ Simpson about a week ago, and because Jamal was out, you needed more minutes from guys like him, and he had 14 minutes. He had the wide open dunk, which was cool. He was 1 of 5, but from everything I'm reading, it sounds like they're going to be a team that is kind of relying on KJ Simpson. So Nuggets win. Michael, when we come back, we'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly from last night. Also, more on Sean Payton, because Michael, we didn't even get to the half of those clips last night. So we'll hit that coming up a little bit later on. Top stories of the day and in college sports, college football, they're at it again. They've got massive changes, maybe, in the work. So we'll get into that from Ross Dillinger over at yahoosports.com. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
High school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Faith, what is that you text me something on Instagram? She said it's sad, so send me something different, and we'll take a look at it. Michael, I want to do this first, though. From the night that was, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, first night back for the Avalanche in 3 weeks, and they get the dub last night, 4-2. No Nathan MacKinnon. Did he need a little mental break after Team USA absolutely destroyed Canada in I get it was overtime, but still. Or was it just more or less, we're going to try to ease him back in? You could look at travel situation, too, but the Avs get the dub over Utah last night. The bad for me was Joker from three. Which I'm fine with. If you're open, take it. Like Michael back there, shoot or shoot. If you're open, I want you to take it, Mike. How about that?
You don't want me to take that shot.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I don't want you to take that shot. Joker was 4 of 13. Still ended the night with 30 points, though. And that's the thing. Like, 5 years ago, we would have looked at that stat line and said, wow, we have the best player in the world. Now he puts those numbers together and we think that's not good enough because his efficiency just hasn't been there. Still plus 13 on the plus minus last night. And the ugly was Jamal Murray getting himself a case of the Rocky Mountain Quick Step, as my brother used to call it. I think food poisoning for him. He played 8 minutes last night in that game and it was a no-go. He had no interest in coming back, so we'll see how he's feeling for the next game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Mike, we left a lot of meat on the bone yesterday when we were talking about Sean Payton and where, you know, he's at the NFL Combine, so he had a lot to say. He's pissed off at Mike Kliss for fabricating this story, for misquoting him. The problem with that is we heard everything. We heard how he talked about Bo Nix's ankle. He did say it was a predisposed ankle injury, and he had talked to Bo, and he had several injuries on that ankle. Bo Nix, of course, fired back and said, I wish he would not talk about my ankle that much that way, because quite frankly, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then, of course, at the NFL Combine yesterday, Sean Payton was asked to go back into the ankle gate, is what we're calling it now, and he instead said, I'm not answering any questions. Learn my lesson. Ask Mike. He points Mike Kliss out to everybody and says, he's the one that misquoted me. We all heard it. How can you misquote a clip, Michael? I'm shocked by that. But there were other things that Sean had to say. One of them, Michael, do we have this one of talking about the offseason? You know, of what they could possibly do. Are they going to take big swings? Yesterday, the big news was Sean Payton is announcing Davis Webb is going to be the offensive play caller, and that's that. I still have my reservations as far as how much not involved he's going to be in calling the plays, but that was the big one yesterday. He was asked about George Payton, and I found this fascinating. You don't typically ask the head coach what their thoughts are on a renewal of a contract for the general manager, but here's what Sean had to say.
Contract year for George. Would you advocate for him being extended?
I have
extended?
Already. Yeah. So, it's overdue. I say that respectfully to the process, but he and I have a great working relationship, and so my job wouldn't be as fun or as exciting if he wasn't a part of it. That should be something that gets handled quickly.
Now, a couple of things that just kind of stick out to me on that. I don't, Michael, do you recall a time when we're asking the head coach at a press conference like this, an informal press conference, NFL Combine, if you've talked to ownership about the renewal of the general manager's contract, which would be your boss? That'd be like you talking to ownership about my renewal of contract.
Only when the ownership is Mike Shanahan and he's both the head coach and the general manager.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Outside of that, it's like it's not.
But it's like funny.
You're not asking me about your contract.
And it's funny because Sean, again, it makes it sound like, yes, I've talked to them and everything looks good. I thought that was interesting. But I will say this from the positive standpoint. When it was announced that the Broncos were going to trade a first-round pick and bring Sean Payton over here, I had my reservations about that. I also had my reservations about how he and George Payton's relationship would work, because with Sean, his way is the way. And he needs to kind of operate with this mindset of the GM is almost a secondary position. So I didn't see how that was going to fly, but George seems to love it there. Sean seems to love it with George Payton. So far, so good. George Payton spoke to the media a bit, not about his contract, but he talked about a guy we've been discussing quite frequently here, and that's RJ Harvey. Are they going to go spend big money on a top-tier running back, which it sounds like Breece Hall is going to be out of the question because they'll franchise tag him with the Jets. Maybe Travis Etienne Jr., possibly. But there's been a lot of conversations of, well, what happens if you bring in a top-tier running back and you also re-sign J.K. Dobbins? What happens to R.J. Harvey? Here's what George Payton had to say about last year's second-round pick.
RJ Harvey, your guy's pet cat, you know, through the process after last year's draft. Do you guys still view him as a potential three down back in this league?
Yeah. We do. I mean, he's still a pet cat. I thought he had a really good year for a rookie and everything that was thrown to him. And then, you know, Dobbins gets hurt and he comes in and he can just do, you know, he's dynamic with the ball in the hands. And you saw it at all stages during the season, big games, you know, Jacksonville, Buffalo playoff, you know, just him with the ball in the hands, his hands, his route running ability. I thought he improved first and second down. You know, the game slowed down for him as the season went on. Couldn't be more happy about RJ.
How do you think RJ feels being called a pet cat? I mean, he had, let's say, I mean, I know there's a lot of conversation surrounding him, but he had 7 rushing touchdowns. And he had several, how many receiving touchdowns did he have last year? 5 for a rookie? Is that pet cat number? Is that a pet cat number? Is that where we're going? Is, you know, over double digit touchdowns, you're in the pet cat territory? I mean, how do you think he views that? When all the talk is, we got to find a guy to replace him. We got to find a guy that can be our number one and number two. They're pretty confident that he's going to work out. But then I hear pet cat and I'm, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe, like, give me something cool. Like, of all the animals in the animal kingdom, does anyone want to be labeled as the pet cat?
I'm going to be honest with you. As a cat person, I would love to be labeled as pet cat.
Don't worry. We actually do label you as that. So, yeah, you're fine there. You got what you wished for. But I don't know with RJ. I think it's a very... Is he going to be the kind of guy that you can give the football to 15 to 20 times a game? And I just, based on what we saw last year, I mean, the vision's not there. But he's not going to get any better if you do go out and get an ETN junior, or if you do re-sign J.K. Dobbins. If you get both of those guys, then I think you're essentially saying pet cat becomes more of like a pet fish. Like, he's in the bowl. He's not going to be part of this offense anymore. I don't see it, especially for a head coach. Maybe that changes with Davis Webb, that has to write on his play sheet, run the damn ball, because he forgets. So unless something's going to change with Davis Webb, which I hope it does, RJ Harvey could be the forgotten guy in all this. 31 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. Let's get into more of what Sean Payton had to say yesterday. Also, very fascinating stuff going on in the world of college football. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports outlines this beautifully, but there was a big meeting this week to discuss some massive changes surrounding college football. Number one, keeping the transfer portal window in January. Number two, giving coaches flexibility to move some spring practices to the summer so we could be finally doing away with spring football. Also, allowing schools to open the season in week zero starting in 2027, which would help alleviate some of the concerns surrounding the muddled mess we have when it comes to the college football playoff scheduling. So fascinating stuff we'll get to coming up a little bit later on in the show. Also, Rams Weekly at 1 with Kevin Lytle. The Colorado State Rams have won 6 in a row. I'm starting to believe. But my question to Kevin's going to be, who is the dog on this team? Last year, during this run, you had a first-round draft pick that was the dog on this team. Who is that guy for Colorado State? All that and more coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Foundation Sports Nutrition in Greeley is a relatively new, locally owned nutrition supplement business, and it's in our own backyard. And what I love about this, it's not a, hey, one size fits all. Come in and get your type of proteins that you're wanting, your vitamins, different supplements to help you in your fitness journey. And maybe your fitness journey is not extreme. Like, you're not expecting to run marathons and you don't necessarily want to get into the weight room and curl 50-pound dumbbells all the time. Maybe you just want to go on walks. You want to maybe even kick that walk up to a jog. Whatever it is, whatever that might be, or just eating right, just finding it in your diet. That's where Foundation Sports Nutrition comes in. Whether you're the diehard athlete or you're just wanting to make a couple of small tweaks, they got you covered. At Foundation Sports Nutrition. They're on 10th Street and 59th Avenue, right across from Wells Fargo and Sonic. It's right where Double Diamond CrossFit is, too. So if you're really wanting to get into that mode, like I'm pretty sure Michael is, you want to check it out. Because I hear great things about CrossFit, Mike. I have not participated in the Double Diamond CrossFit festivities just yet, but maybe someday. Because it's intense, man. It's intense. Remember our guy, Chad, owner of the tavern in St. Michael Square? He would do that stuff. He'd be up bright and early doing that stuff. And then he did it to the point where he got so good there, he entered in like strongman competitions just recently, just a couple years ago. So no matter what those goals are, Foundation Sports Nutrition is going to help you out with it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What do you think the future of R.J. Harvey is with the Broncos? I mean, they're saying the right things. Why does the pet cat thing bother me, Mike? Does it kind of bother you? It just hits my ear wrong.
It's because most people are like, that guy's a dog. He's a dog.
Man, I've never
you
heard
think about dog
pet
as,
cat.
As tough in football. And cat seems like
the
more
opposite.
Gentle. And some people, they just hate cats. And those people are monsters.
Cats are okay.
How dare you?
They're kind of creepy.
Oh.
Kind of. I can see why you like them.
You're so mean to me.
Cat or dogs? Hooligans. That's the impromptu poll question of the day.
People
cats
are gonna say
or
dogs?
Dogs
because that's the popular thing.
No, I think there's plenty of people that are cat people. Well, there's a lot of people that are cat people. And I'm not opposed to having a cat. I'm not. I'm just saying if I have to chew. Although, I will admit, like, I love my dog, Bear. He is an amazing dog. He's a white lab. He's a bull in a china shop. He's a very well-trained dog. He's a very good dog. But I will admit, sometimes I wish he was a little more cat-like. Maybe he's not going to knock me over when he's so excited to see me. Or when we're doing the slip and slide in the backyard and I arrive to my destination at the end of the slip and slide and go to get up, maybe I'm not tackled. That would be exciting, and I don't think a cat's going to do that to me.
Well, you got to train him out of that.
Well, we're trying, Mike. He's a year old. What do you know about training a dog? What do you mean you got to train him out of that? What would you do? Say don't do that? We try, Mike. He's excited, and he's a year old. He's a puppy still.
I would seek the advice of a trainer.
No, we don't need advice. See, that's the thing. If we're going to be pet owners, we're going to train him for better or worse. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine. But I'm not bringing Caesar Malone into the house to train the dog. No,
unless you have a Cartman in the house.
What?
There was an episode of South Park where he trained Cartman.
Thank you. Okay. All right, Hulligans. Cats or dogs? That's our poll question today. Cats or dogs?
There's one right answer, and the answer is cat.
And you're like probably the creepy, weird, like cat that doesn't even have any fur, like that Dr.
What's
Evil
What's wrong
had.
With them?
Are you serious? Are you being serious right now? The cats that don't have any fur? Those are demons from hell, Michael.
No, they're not. They're just cats without fur.
That's so ugly.
Just because they're weird looking.
You would have a cat with no fur?
Yes.
Are you serious? I thought I knew you. I thought I knew
they're just cats.
The limit.
They're not, they don't look as cool.
Anything. I don't want a dog without fur. I don't want to ride a horse that doesn't have any horse hair.
Well, no one's bred a dog to not have fur. For some reason, people have bred cats to not have fur.
That is a weird thing. I do not know. That is creepy. Very creepy. I'm actually disappointed in you. Cats, I was willing to go along with you, man. But furless cats? Or hairless cats, or whatever they call them. Mm-mm.
It's not their fault that people have bred them that
That's
way.
That's fine, but I just don't... Like, you want that in your house? You want to wake up to that? What if you're, like, half awake, and you're going to look at that thing and think that is some kind of monster?
Well, my place is too cold for that cat anyway.
Okay.
My place is, like, always in the 60s, so, like, I would need a cat that has fur.
No, I'm good. I'm good with a dog.
Or I'd have to give that cat like a sweater.
Or even just
and
a cat
I don't
with
want to
fur.
Dress a cat. That just
you
feels kinda, wrong.
You're starting to strike me as a guy that might dress a cat.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I
wouldn't even put something Broncos on the cat.
Hairless
I feel like
cats.
The cat just doesn't want that.
Hairless cats, though, Mike. Come on, man. Cats you can't trust. You can't trust a cat. You have no idea what's going through their brain. A dog, you know. I'm happy to see you. I am really thrilled that you're home right now. A cat, are you happy? I can't tell. You're just kind of looking at me, and that's odd to me. So, no, I'm going dogs. If I have to vote, I'm going Dogs. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Unless it's like a bobcat. Maybe like a mountain lion or something. You know, maybe like a tiger.
There are people that own those.
Isn't that illegal?
I think you have to have a special permit.
You can have a permit to own a tiger?
Yeah, I think you have to have like a zoo or something.
I guess Tiger King had a place and he technically was allowed to own those until they figured out what was going on.
Yeah, wasn't he doing some weird stuff?
He was doing some weird.
That was really popular.
That was totally COVID. That was right around the time COVID hit. So everyone watched it.
Except for me.
Well, you don't watch a lot of cool things. It was like really interesting stuff. And then when you're done with it, you're like, I'm going to go take a shower. That was pretty weird and pretty gross. I think I'm going to move on with my life. Now, Lawnster's on the First Advantage hotline. Lawnster, dogs or cats, man?
Hey, first of all, Brady, how you doing this morning?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little disturbed thinking about hairless cats now, thanks to Michael. But other than that, I'm hanging in.
Well, you know what? I've always been a cat person.
Really? Okay. So you're not going to tell me hairless cats, are you, Lawnster?
I've never had a hairless cat.
Okay. See, that's fine. Like, I'm not so far on the dog side that I will be like, oh, you're a cat owner. I could totally see myself owning a cat. Just probably leaning more toward the dog.
Well, when I was growing up, that's all my that's all mom would have is cats.
Is there any particular reason? Was it just her pet of choice,
Here's the reason. When my mom first got married, they were living in a house somewhere here in Loveland, and they had a dog, and somebody went out and poisoned it one night.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
And yeah, and after that, Dad said, "That's it." And so mom decided we're going to have a cat.
They went out and poisoned your dog?
Well, there was a dog that was, I don't remember the whole story. I wasn't even discovered yet.
Mm. So it was just one of those crazy stories about nasty people to pets.
Yeah, that's it. That was it right there.
Well, and
no,
so you guys.
No, I don't remember. I wasn't quite discovered yet.
Yeah, I get you, man. So cats maybe a little easier to maintain as far as escape route and all that stuff.
Yeah, I had a cat, man. He was so friendly. He would befriend anybody that come into the house.
Yeah, and that's cool. Like a friendly cat, like an over-friendly cat. The ones that get me are the ones that just kind of stare at you, and you're like, I don't know if I trust you 100%.
Yeah, or that they're sticking their claws out ready to attack you or something.
Those will get you too, man. Lawnster.
Yeah, or else the teeth that's ready to take a good chunk out of because somebody forgot to feed them or something.
What did you make of George Payton referring to R.J. Harvey as their pet cat?
You know what? I really didn't mind the comment. I just kind of just
well, because you're a cat right. guy and you're like, that's a compliment. That's actually a compliment, man.
It is, but you know what? I just let those ride.
All right. Lawnster, appreciate the call, my friend.
Hey, you have a good day there. And hey, if I don't talk to you later, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Hey, Lawnster, you still there?
Yes.
Can you give me a Micah-ism, please?
Hey, have a good day and have a good weekend.
And what else? What does he always say? Go what?
Go Broncos. Or in this case, go high school sports. Go Nuggets. Go Broncos.
Lawnster, that's going to get me through the day today. Thank you for that.
Hey, glad to help you out as much as I can.
All right, there he is. Well, I guess if you're a cat like lover, then you view the comment about R.J. Harvey being a pet cat as a compliment, I suppose. But in sports terms, you're right. It's always dog. Does he got that dog in him? And in this case, R.J. Harvey, does he have that pet cat in him?
But cats are sneaky and maneuverable and hard to find. And we'll see. Can he be sneaky and maneuverable and hard to find? I mean, he has been. They've been throwing it. He's been getting a lot of touchdowns.
11? What do you have, 11 touchdowns?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good. For a rookie? Okay, you're the GM. You got money. Are you bringing in a running back and re-signing J.K. Dobbins? So you have two guys that then would be in front of R.J. Harvey. Are you doing that?
Right now, with how high they are on R.J. Harvey, and with how little we saw him last year, I'm kind of maybe...
You'd like to see more from R.J. Harvey next year.
I would like to see more.
And obviously, if you bring in a Travis Etienne Jr. or a Kenneth Walker.
If you can get them for cheaper.
Or, well,
you can't.
They're running backs, Mike. They're running backs. What are you going to pay? I mean, we're talking 14 mil?
I mean, for me, like, I'm the farther I go, I'm more settling on, I think we need another weapon out there.
But you
wide
sacrifice
receiver, tight end.
Okay, so you would say just go that route. Sean Payton talked about the biggest needs, and he basically said it was tight end, it was running back, and it was inside linebacker. Not wide receiver. I thought that was interesting of Sean to say. That their targets are not, like off the cuff anyway, his targets do not include a wide receiver. I mean, they still might draft one, but that's not going to be a priority. I have a feeling they're going to draft a linebacker in the first round. I have a feeling they're going to try to bring back Alex Singleton and Justin Cernadde, and they'd have Dre Greenlaw, and they're still going to draft an inside linebacker.
I would not. It's a linebacker-rich draft.
There's a lot of. They might not have to do it in the first round, but they're gonna find themselves a linebacker for the future. Eastside Chris, dogs are better. Cats belong outside catching mice.
Cats belong inside and maybe outside.
I will say the reason that cats are even close to the win column for me is because of their hatred of mice, because they can take care of mice. So, but Bear does nothing with a mouse. He will just look at it and maybe say, hey, do you want to be friends? Come inside.
I think there are a lot of people that just don't understand cats. And so they don't like cats because they don't understand them. Or maybe they have the type of cat that
like
doesn't
serial
fit
murdery.
Their personality.
They're serial murdery. That's how they come across. 11:50 the time. Let's take a quick break here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
If you're really, like me, hoping that tight end is the focus for the Broncos, then you're not going to like these comments from Sean Payton. He did say this is a very good linebacker class. Talked about that. George Payton said this is a pretty good linebacker class. I keep seeing Georgia's C.J. Allen maybe going to be, that's the guy's name I keep seeing that would make the most sense for the Broncos. But when Sean was asked, it talked about, you know, their musts and their big needs. Well, it was George and Sean both said the musts on the current roster are running back and linebacker. But you also want to bring back Alex Singleton and Justin Cernadde. If you want to bring both of those guys back and you still have Dre Greenlaw, is that a must now? They are pretty thin outside of those three guys when it comes to the depth chart. Is that someone you'd want to take, you know, draft at number 30? Not sure. He did talk about the tight ends. He said you have to remove the magnets. So I would say when you do that, you look at the roster differently. You look at tight end differently. So those are positions certainly that would stand out. What does he mean by remove the magnets, Michael? We'll discuss coming up next. Top stories of the day. Also, Kevin Lytle set to join us for Rams Weekly at 1 o'clock. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.